On today's episode of the Gary Zimek Show, we'll take a look at how to survive when all comfort is gone. Stay tuned. We start now. So, are you comfortable? Welcome to the show. My name is Gary Zimek. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. We will be discussing later on in the program today how we can survive, how we can manage when we have absolutely no comfort, when we have no spiritual comfort at all. You know, a lot of times when we pray, we get a great feeling of comfort back, but there are times we're not feeling very much at all. When you combine that kind of lack of a spiritual comfort with lack of earthly comfort, and sometimes they do go hand in hand, how is it that we can keep going forward? Well, we will turn to the great spiritual writer Thomas A. Kempis today and look at what he has to say about this in his book, The Imitation of Christ. We'll also read the Daily Mass readings from today's Daily Mass, appropriately enough. Today is the memorial of St. John Newman. And let's see, we will look at the Mass readings for Tuesday, January the 5th. So we've got a busy show. I'm really glad that you joined me today on the program. I hope that you've been able to follow this series that I've been doing with Jeanette Benkovic on EWTN television all this week. It involves discerning God's will. So if you really want to get an idea of how you can hear God speak to you, I mean, that's the first thing. You're not going to be able to follow his will if you can't hear him speak. So number one, we have to hear him speak. And then look for ways that you can put what he's telling you into practice. If you're looking for some advice, I hope you'll be able to tune in. We've got three more episodes. It airs for the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And you can also get the DVD if you're interested through EWTN Religious Catalog. That is at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a 30-minute show. And I really enjoyed, we taped it late last year, and it was really great to be in Alabama filming the program with Jeanette Benkovic. She's an amazing person. I'm proud to be able to consider her a friend. She's really helped me a great deal, and she's an excellent person. I mean, she's just an outstanding person. Really does a great job bringing people closer to the Lord, and she's a great host, too. She made it easy for me. She even guided me through the program. So if I'm able to do a good job, then you know that Jeanette really is a great host. So she really did a great job. But I hope you'll be able to check out the show tomorrow morning at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. I'll be doing my regular weekly segment on the Sunrise Morning Show, which is on EWTN Radio. And that segment is called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. I hope you'll be able to tune in. It's my way to reach out with my anxious friends, because let me tell you, as you know, I'm a big worrier by nature, but I've found that with the help of the Lord, we can overcome worry and we can experience peace. And I've been blessed to be able to share this message with people throughout the United States and Canada, actually. And tomorrow, I'm excited about this. Tomorrow, in addition to appearing on the Sunrise Morning Show, tomorrow will be my fourth anniversary of being in full-time Catholic ministry. Just incredible. The Lord has really blessed me, and I'm so grateful. It's a great way to be able to start my day off. So that's kind of really neat. 6:35 a.m. on EWTN Radio. I just want to mention a couple of other things. I've discussed this a few times in the past week or so, or not in the past, in the past several weeks. If you'd like to help me to continue my full-time ministry and to keep this program free of charge, I would ask you to do me a favor. If you shop from Amazon.com, if you would simply use the link from my website, followingthetruth.com, to go to Amazon, once you do that, then anything you purchase results in a little bit of a commission for me. So it's one way to keep things going here. The other thing I'd like to recommend, and it's actually something I did today, if you enjoy drinking good coffee, I ask you to consider purchasing coffee through my website, followingthetruth.com, from Mystic Monk. They make the finest coffee that I have ever had. I ordered some today. You know, I'm a big believer in the product. I drink it on the air. I promote it. These are authentic Carmelite monks. They love Our Lady. They do great work, and they make great coffee. I ordered some Jingle Bell Java today, and yes, you can get it still, Jingle Bell Java, and they also have some of their special Christmas blend available for a limited time. So if you're interested, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Click on the Mystic Monk image and then order away. And again, anything you purchase results in a little bit of a commission for me. And in fact, today's beverage du jour, he says as he subtly sips his coffee, is Mystic Monk Jingle Bell Java. That's what I'm drinking today. It is a really unique flavor. And if you're into flavored coffees, you have to check this out. This is the last time that it will be available for the year. So make sure you go to Mystic Monk Coffee today, available at followingthetruth.com. Pick yourself up some Jingle Bell Java. And of course, the third way that you can help me is to become a monthly sponsor of my work. You can do that for as little as $10 a month, which equates to 33 cents a day. And as I mentioned a few days ago, I'm still looking for 10 sponsors, 10 additional sponsors for $10 each per month to help me keep this radio show operational. Now, I'm grateful for all of you who support my work, but I really could use a few extra sponsors. So I don't like to say a lot about this, but it really is the way that I survive. You're a great reason that I survive. That, plus speaking engagements, plus book royalties, I'm able to keep paying the bills. Barely, but I'm able to do it. So I thank you very much in advance for anything you could do to help me continue my full-time work for the Lord. God willing, I plan to be around here for a long time to come, and I plan to keep speaking at parishes and conferences. I plan to keep writing. So you just keep me in your prayers and let me know if there's anything that I could ever do for you. All of this week, we are going into the new daily themes of the program. We'll do this up until February the 10th, which is Ash Wednesday, when we begin our Lenten retreat. Stay tuned, because very soon I'll be letting you know the book that we'll be using for the Lenten retreat. The regular daily themes up until that point, last night, Monday, we did What Catholics Really Believe, a look at the teachings of our Catholic Church as explained in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Tuesday is Imitating Christ. We open up, and that's what we'll be doing today, the great spiritual masterpiece, The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, and examine ways that we can grow closer to our Lord. Wednesday, My Daily Bread. It's based on a book by Father Anthony Payone. The book is of the same name, and it's another great way that we can, using very simple steps, grow closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Thursday, we'll focus on the greatest stories ever told, the parables of Jesus. I did this segment several years ago. It was very popular, and I thought it was time to bring it back. And then Friday, we'll close out the week with Getting Personal with Jesus. This is going to be a big part of my ministry in the upcoming year. My new book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, will be out in just about a month, maybe even a little bit less than a month. So I'm going to be speaking a lot about how we can have a close personal relationship with Jesus. What I'm finding when I go out and speak, when I talk to people, when people write to me, many, many people struggle with this idea of having a personal relationship with Jesus. We hear this cliche, this phrase all the time, but yet how exactly do we go about having this personal relationship with Jesus? Well, if you stick with me this year, in addition to the book that'll be coming out, I'm going to be sharing steps with you, because I want you to know Jesus, and personally, I want to get to know him even better as well. So I'm going to be working on this basically for the rest of my life, but especially this year. So 2016 is going to be the year that we are going to get to know Jesus better. And again, I just hope you stick with me. Let's do this together. Let's get to know our Lord even better. Can I get an amen? All right, amen. Even though I couldn't hear you, I knew that you said amen. Let's pray, and then we'll talk about today's daily Mass readings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we are very grateful that you've given us another day to know you, to love you, to serve you. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given us in our lives. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for all of our possessions. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the fact that we live in a free country, that we're able to practice our faith freely. We thank you for the gift of sacred scripture. We thank you for loving us so much. Father, we ask you to help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who are dealing with addiction. Father, we ask that you help those who are struggling financially, as well as those who are dealing with extreme weather or religious persecution. Help us all to grow closer to you and to desire to know you and love you and serve you more each day. Father, we present to you our own personal needs and intentions. We know you love us. We know you are our Heavenly Father. And we know that you always have our best interest at heart. And Father, I give you this show. This show belongs to you. I give it to you, and I ask you to speak through me this day. And please open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to the message that you have for us. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint John Newman, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you. It's great to pray with you. It's great to be with you, here with you. It's great to share some coffee, a snack with you, whatever we may be sharing. As we gather together here in Blog Talk, on Blog Talk Radio, and talk about Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church. Isn't it cool that we're able to do this? I am so blessed. Even though tomorrow will be my fourth anniversary in full-time ministry, I am already in my sixth year of doing this radio program. I started doing this show when I was still employed full-time as a computer programmer and project manager. So it's kind of amazing that I'm still doing this. But I'll tell you what, I really love it. This is a great source of joy for me when I can sit here and talk about Jesus and I can read some of these passages from the Bible and some of these great spiritual writings. I'll tell you what, I just love doing it. I love sharing it with you. I love when you give me feedback that you enjoy the program. And I can really, I know this sounds kind of weird, but I can really feel your presence here. I know I'm not talking to myself. I know you're listening. I know you're in this with me. And it really helps encourage me to know that together we're trying to get to know Christ better. We're trying to do the best we can. And yes, we do fail. But we pick ourselves up, we dust ourselves off, and we keep going. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And if there's any questions that you may have about anything that we discuss, please reach out to me at gary@followingthetruth.com, and I would love to be able to help you. Let's take a look at these Mass readings now. These are from Tuesday, January the 5th. The first reading is once again from the first letter of St. John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. St. John talks a lot about love. Some of his messages are tough, though. You've heard these readings over the past few weeks saying that if you say you love your brother, or if you say you love God but you don't love your brother, you're a liar, and on and on. I mean, he doesn't pull any punches. He tells it like it is. But today he tells us, once again, to let us love one another because love is of God. If you want to imitate the Lord in your life, and we all should, that's what we should all do, we need to love those around us, even those we don't like. We don't have to like them to love them. We can always pray for someone, even if we're unable to talk to them, even if they won't talk to us, even if they're completely, they want nothing to do with us, they're angry, whatever the reason, we can always pray for someone. Even if you find somebody very difficult to deal with in person, always pray for them. Pray for those who have done wrong to you. That's another great thing that we need to put into practice. The Lord Jesus told us that we need to love our enemies, not just those that love us back. We need to love our enemies. And when we do, we become very close to the Lord. Look through the Bible. You will never find an example when our Heavenly Father didn't love somebody or when our Lord Jesus didn't love somebody. There are no examples in the Bible. You can look and look and look. You will never find an example of that because God is love. God is pure love. I know that's a hard concept for us to understand. It almost sounds a little flowery, and we tend to zone out a little bit when we hear that. But it really is true. God is pure love. And that should make you feel good because of the fact that you know that He loves you. He loves you unconditionally, and there's nothing that you could ever do to change that. Boy, that's a great feeling. The responsorial psalm continues this theme of the Epiphany, which we celebrated on Sunday. Psalm 72, Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice and your afflicted ones with judgment. The mountains shall yield peace for the people, and the hills justice. He shall defend the afflicted among the people, save the children of the poor. Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is a reminder that the Lord is God of the Lord is God of all people. There is not just one exclusive group. He's not just the Catholics' God or the Jews' God. The Lord is Lord over all. He originally came to reveal himself to the Israelites, but then Jesus came and inaugurated the new covenant, and the new covenant applies to all of us, Gentiles and Jews alike. So this is a great blessing. You and I have a great privilege in that we are all children of Almighty God. We are all under His umbrella of protection. And that's a really comforting thought to meditate upon today. Let's look at this gospel. And you know what? I want you to pay attention to this very first line of the gospel because it's something that you need to know. You might not always realize this, but you need to know this. Mark 6, verses 34 through 44. Listen to how it starts out. When Jesus saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. By now it was already late, and his disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already very late. Dismiss them so that they can go to the surrounding farms and villages and buy themselves something to eat." He said to them in reply, "Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Are we to buy 200 days' wages worth of food and give it to them to eat?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. So he gave orders to have them sit down in groups on the green grass. The people took their places in rows by hundreds and by fifties. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 wicker baskets full of fragments, and what was left of the fish. Those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men. Did you like the way that started off? Now, we all know this is the feeding of the 5,000. This is a story that is so powerful. It is told by all 4 of the evangelists. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell this story. It's a very, very powerful miracle. But the way it started out here, when Jesus saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had a heart that was able to be moved with pity. That's the way he feels about us when we're lost, when we're directionless, when we're suffering, when we're struggling, when we're searching for happiness. His heart is moved with pity for us. And he doesn't just sit around and feel bad for us. He provides us with a solution. First of all, he gives us the Catholic Church and the teachings of his Catholic Church. That is an incredible blessing for us. The fact that Jesus does not leave us to be alone. When we open up our catechism, when we study the teachings of the Church, we get an amazing assortment of messages directly from the Lord. The Lord speaks through His church. It's really, really powerful. And if you really love Jesus, or if you want to get to know Him better, one of the best places to start is by taking a look at the teachings of His church. And we do that here on the program. We do it throughout all 5 days of the program, but especially on Monday. So I hope you continue to tune in, especially maybe you're not familiar with the teachings of the Catholic Church. Many people aren't. Even if you go to Mass every week, you might not be. So keep that in mind. It's really important to understand that Jesus loves us. His heart is moved for pity with us. Many times we suffer needlessly. We suffer because we don't realize that He is the answer. He's the answer to all of our happiness. And when that happens, He reaches out to us and He wants to help us. Again, He just doesn't want to feel sorry for us. He wants to help us. So remember that He is the answer. This is a great story. This prefigures, this is a foreshadowing, really, of the Eucharist. When He feeds the 5,000, He feeds everybody who is there. They are all filled to capacity, even though His followers only were able to produce 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus took what they had. Notice He took what they had on hand, and then He miraculously multiplied the food so that everybody, all the 5,000, were able to be filled. That's what the Lord does. He does that with our efforts. We also see this happen at Holy Mass when we start with bread and wine, ordinary bread and wine, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that bread and wine is transformed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But He always wants us to do what we can, and then He miraculously multiplies whatever little we can do. That's the way He works in our lives. So it's a great blessing to have the Lord care so much about us. I mean, try to find a friend that cares about you all the time. You could wake up in the middle of the night and start talking to Jesus. That's how much He cares. Try calling your friends on the phone at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. They're not going to be too happy to hear from you. But Jesus is always there for us. Turn to Him. This is part of getting to know Him. We need to turn to Him. We need to get used to speaking to Him every day and letting Him speak to us. And again, we'll talk more about it throughout the year. It really is possible. I never thought it was possible, but I've discovered that it really is possible. Get to know Jesus. You will find peace and you will find happiness. Okay, let's take a look at this comfort business. We like to be comfortable. I love to be comfortable. And when my comfort is gone, I start to feel unhappy. How do we deal with it? How do we deal with the lack of comfort? We're going to turn to The Imitation of Christ, which is a classic spiritual book by Thomas A. Kempis. The version that I use, and I recommend this version, it's my favorite. It's by the Catholic Book Publishing Company. It's written in an easy-to-understand way, but the message is not diluted at all. You know, whenever you get these translation of spiritual books, you have to be careful, because not all translations are created equal. This is a really good one. It's relatively inexpensive. It's a small hardback book. I paid under $10 for it a few years ago. I don't think you'll pay much more now, but it's highly recommended. Today we're going to look at Chapter 9. The title is On the Want of All Comfort. And we're going to read a little bit, and then I'll chat. It is not hard to despise human comfort when the comfort of God is present. But it is quite another thing and very difficult to be able to do without both human and divine comfort and be willing to endure this desolation of heart for the glory of God, seeking yourself in nothing, nor thinking of your own merit. So it's really hard, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, it's really hard when we experience no comfort, either the comfort of people here on earth or the comfort of God. And it does happen. Why does it happen? Well, let's read on. It is no test of virtue if you are happy and devout when grace comes to the soul, for this is the time desirable to all. Those who are carried by the grace of God ride safely. It is no wonder that they feel no burden, who are carried by the Almighty and led by the Sovereign Guide. We are always glad for solace and comfort and want no part of tribulation, and we do not easily cast aside self-love. The holy martyr St. Lawrence overcame the world together with the priest he served because he scorned the delights of the world, and for the love of Christ he humbly suffered to have Sixtus the Pope, whom he loved dearly, taken from him. So through the love of the Creator, he overcame the love of others, choosing what pleased God instead of human comfort. See that you also learn to part with some necessary thing in a beloved friend for the love of God. Do not be grieved when you are forsaken by a friend, knowing that someday we must be separated from one another. So the moral of the story here is that we're going to have things in life that happen that grieve us. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to lose close friends, close relatives, family members. We're going to experience trials and tribulations. It's part of life. We are, in many ways, we become accustomed to being comfortable. I honestly do like being comfortable. But sometimes it becomes a hindrance. If I become too comfortable, then I lose sight of the Lord and His presence in my life, because I start to think, well, I don't really need Him because everything's going along smoothly. We just have to be careful that we don't become so comfortable that we forget about God. Before they can win the victory over self, people must go through a considerable conflict with self and be able to give their whole heart to God. When people rely on their own strength, they easily incline toward human consolation. But those who love Christ and earnestly pursue virtue do not fall back on such consolations. They are glad to endure hard labor and discipline for Christ. In other words, the closer we become to Christ, the less we depend on human consolation. Sometimes being a friend of Jesus is going to make enemies for us. It's a fact. It will happen. But we need to keep focused on Christ and not turn our backs on Him just so that people will approve of us. However, when God sends you spiritual comfort, accept it gladly and thank Him for it, but fully realize that it's God's mercy that sends it and not any deserving of yours. Do not be proud, presumptuous, or overjoyed. Rather, let this gift humble you, and be wary and fearful in all you do, for surely that time will pass away and be followed by temptation. When consolation is withdrawn, do not be despondent, but humbly and patiently wait for the return of God, for He can give you back grace in fuller measure. Those who are experienced in the ways of God know that there is nothing new or strange about this, for such reverses were suffered by the saints and the ancient prophets. The thing to remember for us is that sometimes when we pray, we are not going to feel a darn thing. Sometimes when we receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, we don't even feel anything. It doesn't mean He's not with us. It doesn't mean He's not working in our lives. It just means that the feeling is temporarily being blocked. And why is that? Well, one of the reasons is because we learn to love God when this happens for the sake of loving God and not because it feels good. If God always gave us feelings of consolation or comfort when we prayed or when we did good deeds, we would begin to start looking just for the feeling. That's human nature. You could say that, no, that wouldn't happen, but you know it would happen. If you thought about it, it would happen. And the Lord knows that, and He wants us to make sure that we love Him for who He is and not just because it feels good. There was one who in the time of grace said, in time of good fortune, I said, nothing can ever sway me. However, when great grace was withdrawn, he tells us how he felt. When you hid your face, I was filled with terror. Even then, he didn't despair, but earnestly implored the Lord. I will cry out to you, Lord, and call upon my God. Finally, his prayer was answered, and he was heard to say, the Lord listened and had mercy on me. The Lord became my helper. In what way? You have turned my mourning into dancing, he says, and clothed me with joy. If God has dealt this way with great saints, then who are we? Then we who are so feeble must not be discouraged if sometimes we are fervent and other times cold. Here's what we need to remember. There are going to be times in life when we don't feel like praying. Pray anyway. And if you do that, that's how you'll make progress spiritually, and that's how you'll grow closer to the Lord. That's it for tonight. I just have a couple of seconds left in the program. I hope you'll be able to tune in tomorrow as we look at the book My Daily Bread. I really think you'll enjoy it. If you're not familiar with the book, I think you'll like it. Anything that I can do for you, my email address is gary@followingthetruth.com. Do have yourself a great night. God bless you, and God willing, I'll see you tomorrow. Take care.